So before we begin, I just want to say thank you to everybody who listened to the last show. All the emails that were sent in, the Instagram messages that I got. It was really awesome. And once again, I fell under the weather, lost my voice for a considerable amount of time this time. But this week, I wanted to do something special. I'm going to do this normal episode. And then a few weeks ago, I tried to record an episode with my good buddy, Joseph Ferreria. I'm still going to put that audio up at the very end of this episode. Again, no BS. My voice was crap. And you'll be able to see or hear how bad it was. So bear with it. That's why I have it at the very end of the episode. If you could stand my voice, then awesome. More power to you. If not, then no problem. The other thing I wanted to announce is that the X-Line YouTube channel is up and running. There will be a link in the show notes, but if you go to YouTube and just do a search for the X-Line, you'll be able to see the episode or see it and hear it. For now, it's audio only, but for this particular episode, I am going to have a slideshow rotation dedicated to the Fujifilm Instax printer. This is something that I will be talking about at great length today, something that I'm very happy with. And finally, everybody who has left 5-star reviews on iTunes, anybody who's left positive reviews on the YouTube channel, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That helps a lot. Really helps with the show for next time. So keep them coming in. I am happy that everybody is enjoying the show. So yeah, let's begin. As of this recording, on December 21st, there is something very cool happening. Something that I can't wait to try. And something that I will definitely report on next episode, whenever that will be. Lord knows, maybe something will happen to my voice again. But Fujifilm just released their X-Pro2 firmware update that will allow for 4K video. And man, do I have plans for that. I plan on making this part of the YouTube channel, and while right now it's audio only, I do want to put up some video up there, and that will certainly help in producing some more content. So I can't wait to give that a try. This week, I wanted to talk about the Fujifilm Instax 3 printer. I just received it in the mail. My personal review on it is that it is absolutely awesome. If there's one thing that I think I value Fujifilm most of all, is the Instax printer. Of all the Fuji devices that have brought me professional joy and personal joy, it has to be the Instax. I put this well over my equipment use with the X-Pro2, any of the cameras, X-T1, X-E2. The Instax has been such an integral part of my wedding photography business. It is such a small thing, but it brings so much to a wedding day. And I did this as an experiment about a few years ago, where it was just an experiment, just something that I thought I would give it a try. And I had the Instax 2 printer. I did the shots of the couple getting ready and their first look, along with their portraits. We had plenty of time after that before the wedding ceremony started. I actually took the time to just print off a few of the photos from that portrait session. It was it was surprising. I knew the couple would like the photos, but I had no idea that they would like it this much. It was eye-opening. It was, I got such raving compliments over it, and something that's very tangible for them to see. Such small little prints that brought so much happiness to the couple before they took their vows. They added those photos to the rest of their photo collection that they had on display. And it was a lot of fun. It was really cool to see them enjoy the photos so much. And everybody enjoyed those photos. It was really, again, such a small little gesture went so far in such a long way. Since then, I've just been using it at every single wedding. I would buy a pack of prints and just give him the full 10, because each cartridge has 10 photos. I would select my favorites, download them to the iPhone, do any kind of, you know, minor edits, minor tweaking, and then print them off. Now, I've always found that printing directly from the camera, for some reason, it doesn't translate very well, at least with the Instax 2 printer. So I would download them through the phone, make any tiny little adjustments, but I didn't really have to do much. And then the prints from the iPhone to the Instax printer just ended up turning out to be much, much better. I don't know why. It's just the way it worked. Every time, it's always a hit. What I would normally do is get my quick selection, get them printed, and then right before the couple is announced during their wedding reception, I would lay out the photos on their table so that when they get announced, they do their first dance and they go sit down for the first time at their table, they're greeted with a nice little select group of photos. And I'm always photographing their reaction. Because it's always really cool. And I swear it could probably be a Fujifilm commercial right there. So yeah, the Instax has been huge for my business, for my family. It's something that I print out on a normal basis. Any vacation time we go on, any, you know, special event, my daughter dancing, my son's first day of preschool. You know, we have Instax photos everywhere around the house. They're upstairs. You know, they're my family's portraits on the mirror on my chalkboard at work. You know, they are everywhere, and it is such a integral part of our life that, you know, if I had to pick one Fujifilm item, it would have to be the Instax that I would keep, because I think those memories mean a lot. And plus, I already know how to use a Canon camera, so I guess, you know. But no, I wouldn't trade my Fuji cameras. And let me add just one more story. This is very recently, a few days ago, actually. My daughter was having her school mini concert. In the morning, they all gathered in one of the local churches just down the street from her school. And they sang Christmas carols. Now, I had my X-Pro2 with my 56mm lens to, you know, get some close-ups of her. I wasn't sitting far. I was about in the second row. So the 56mm was the right choice. I was able to get some nice close-ups of her. And I had my iPhone to do video. And that was just basically sitting on my tripod with my special iPhone holder. Yeah, that nerd. But so that's doing video. You know, I'm using the Fuji for stills, so I'm getting the shots that I want. Now, there was this one parent that basically got in the way. She walked up and basically went in front of one of the chairs and just stood there, blocking a ton of people's views. A lot of people asked her to move aside. She wouldn't move because, you know, that happens. One of the moms that was sitting next to me, she was getting frustrated because she couldn't get a good shot of her son. She just wanted to grab some video. And I asked her which one was her kid. She pointed out the kid, and I'm like, "Do you mind? I'll get you a great shot." She allowed me to photograph her son. I took the shot. Immediately did a little bit of cropping to the square format, and I printed off a square Instax print for her. Came out looking awesome. I gotta say, I mean, how could you get it wrong? It's a nice bouquet with the 56, and she was thrilled. She loved it. She was very grateful for it, and she was. I'm like, yeah, it's what I do. I also do weddings. I meant as a joke, but she's getting married next year in April, and she will get in touch with me very soon after the holiday. So that's a great little anecdote to add. So thank you, Fuji, for helping me potentially get another client. But Instax has been such a treasure. And when they announced the release of the Instax 3 printer, I was overjoyed, because that square format is something that's very familiar to us, especially with Instagram. Having a larger print is always awesome. When I got the Instax 3 and popped in my first pack of square film, well, first it didn't work. I didn't realize that you had to do a firmware update. I haven't done one of those in a while. But after everything was all set, that first print that I printed off was my daughter, my son, and my wife from my son's preschool Christmas party. And it was just awesome. It's a bigger print. It feels good to hold in your hand. You know, it's a smaller print than an actual Polaroid. It's bigger than the standard Instax prints. It's kind of that nice happy medium, and it just feels nice, feels comfortable, and it prints pretty quickly. It shoots it out much quicker, I think. I don't know if this is me just imagining it, but I think it does the print much faster. The development still takes the same. Once it spits it out, it's about the same amount of time as developing the regular size Instax prints. But once it's out, and people can just hold on to it, swish it in their hands like they always do. And sure enough, a nice little picture emerges. The other thing that I've noticed also is that printing directly from the camera to the printer is nice as well. When I mentioned that the Instax 2, again, I don't know if it's just me imagining this, but there was just some discrepancy in the exposure. I'm not seeing that in the Instax 3 printer. And so far, so good. I have a wedding next year. At the end of January, I have a wedding that I am going to test this out on. But before that, I have Christmas. I have Christmas Eve with my family that I will shoot off a bunch of prints and give it a go. And my brother, who is a very casual Fuji user, I am going to give him my old printer so that he could have that for his family. And yay, lots of fun. So highly recommend everybody going out getting an Instax printer. Whether it's the SP2 or SP3, that's all up to you. But they are such a treasure to have. It's absolutely worth it. If I had a wish, I would wish that Fujifilm would somehow make a universal printer. Something that would be able to fit the standard Instax cartridges as well as the wide print and the square format. I don't know why they can't do this. I'm not an engineer. if I had a wish, that's one thing I would want, is some kind of universal printer. Is it possible? I don't know. But that's what I want. So maybe in the future we'll see that. So that's all for this week. I want to wish everybody a safe and happy holiday. Happy New Year. Again, this was stay tuned for the other part of the episode that's going to follow this shortly. But if anybody wants to reach out to me, you could do so by going to thexline.com. You could leave email xlineshow@gmail.com or just find me on Instagram. I am xlineshow. And, you know, like and subscribe if you're listening to this on YouTube. I can't wait till next time. The next episode will be me playing with the video features. So maybe next time I'll have a proper video. Maybe. Fingers crossed. And as always, you could leave a 5-star review on iTunes. That's always going to be helpful. Or, you know, again, like and subscribe if you're listening to this on the YouTube channel. And leave a comment below. What do you think about the Instax prints? Do you like them? Which size is your favorite? I've heard a lot of comments about the wide format. That's the one that seems to be the most, not neglected, but it's not as popular as the others. So I want to hear from you guys. Let me know what you think. And we will see you at the beginning of next year. Take care. Bye-bye. Hey, everybody. I am here with my good friend and colleague and fellow photographer, Joseph Ferreria. How's it going, Joe?
Good. How are you?
Doing okay. I'm battling this cold and, you know, doing everything to fight fate, apparently.
Yeah.
But Joseph Ferreria is a unique guest to the X-Line in that he is not a Fuji user at all whatsoever. He is a great photographer. He is the co-host of the Tiny Shutter podcast, which is all about iPhone photography. We've been doing that show for, God, upwards of 18 years now, right?
Yeah, actually, I think next month in January, it'll be 6 years.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah. And truth be said, Mark calls me all the time basically because I am his parole officer, and he has to check in with me periodically.
Oh, man. Just kidding. That would be you're not wrong. That's what it seems like sometimes. So the reason why I have Joe on the show today, Joe is a very talented and avid photographer, and his unique position in all of this is as I was going from the enthusiast Fuji photographer to now solely on the Fuji system, you were there practically every wedding as I was driving home, and we would do post-mortem on the event. Yeah. And I would tell you exactly what went wrong with the system, what went right with the system, how I could take advantage of the system. And we were just doing it was literally like a post-game show equivalent to, you know, a football equivalent. We were just going down the nitty gritty and just breaking apart what happened.
Yeah. And the nice thing is I got the color commentary on what happened during the weddings, but,
for another show.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I remember, you know, you're like, all right, I'm going to try the Fuji. We'll see how it goes. And the first couple ones, you're like, I don't know how they do it. I'm not getting the results that they're getting. And this would be other photographers that were strictly Fuji users. And
yeah.
And then it was just like things started to progress. I'm using the Canon less. And basically one time you said, I didn't even use the Canon once. And I'm like, yeah. Woohoo, you know.
Never thought that day would come.
Yeah.
It was a glorious day.
But man, it was there were moments this year where, you know, I would pull out the cannon just to be on the safe side, and essentially it became a $3,000 necklace hanging around my neck while I was using these two smaller cameras that were dangling lightly on my hips.
Yes.
And
well, you didn't want to scare the people and be like, "Yeah, I'm the photographer." You know, look at me. I've got this big camera. You know, that wasn't, you know, that could almost be used as a prop. But you know, it gone are the days where you have to have the flagship Nikon or the flagship Canon.
Right. Excuse me, I could cut that out in post. Well, it's funny you mention that, because remember the very – well, maybe you can't remember the first, but it's going way back. But the very first time I used the Fuji camera was the first generation Fuji X100, which was essentially the you know, small fixed lens rangefinder.
Yes.
Or rangefinder lookalike. That wedding produced something that I never thought would happen. People would flock to me and ask if I was shooting film.
No.
And
yeah.
Like they, but I mean, prior to, you know, showing up with the Fuji, it was, "Oh yeah, that's a big camera. Wow. That must take great photos." It's like, yeah okay. I mean, we've all heard this story, but when I show up with the X100 dangling from my hip, they were shocked. They were like, "Oh my God, is that one of those old school cameras?"
Yeah. The hipsters were,
yes,
like,
it is.
Yeah. The hipsters are like, "Wait a minute, I'm confused. It looks like something that I'd want to use, but then it's different."
Yes. So you had the hipsters that were, or the younger folks, you know, fascinated with this old technology, quote unquote. But then the older crowd were gathering around me saying, "Oh my God, is that a Leica?
Yeah.
I haven't seen one of those in ages." I'm like, "Nah, it's not. It's better." That was my first experience with X100 at a wedding. Right. And I used that camera very sporadically because it was pretty slow. But during certain portrait moments, it was really, really nice. Like during the bride getting ready and, you know, getting some detailed shots of like the tables and flowers, it was really, really nice. Yeah. And then under low light condition, it was awesome as long as nobody was moving.
Yes. Now I'm going to ask you some questions.
Yes.
Okay. Psychologically, when you were first using the X100, what were the things going through your head when you first started using the Fuji? Because basically you've been using the 5D and your 50D mainly for the weddings, and then you kind of jumped to the 5D Mark III. But when you went to the Fuji, what were the things kind of going through your head when you started using it?
Well, prior to jumping to Fuji, just for, I mean, first of all, the look of the camera was pretty solid. I was very much one of those people where I looked at the camera, loved the old school design, and just wanted to just play around with it. And after I rented it for the first time, you know, seeing the image quality, you know, it was like, can this be done? And so the research that I did online always took me to a group of UK photographers, predominantly is Kevin Mullins. He's probably one of the most prolific Fujifilm users for wedding photography. And when I saw his work, I was just blown away, knowing that he was able to do all of this with just the Fuji system. And back then it was just the X100 and the X Pro series. And I think the XE series came up, but the XE1 was a very dreadful camera. I hated that camera. It was very slow. But, you know, seeing what he was able to do was just you know, just gave me the confidence to move forward. And then when I used it, it was
yeah,
like, oh, there's the brick wall.
Well, and the big thing was you were battling light, the lack of light.
In some cases, and so battling the light actually comes down to the other end of the stick when it comes to photography is battling the camera for our focus. Autofocus was the driving factor in me not using the system well. And early on, the autofocus was just not there. The X100 was okay, but you know, if anything was moving, it was tough to, you know, be predictive. You know, it was tough to use it as though you were using a Canon camera, basically.
Yeah.
And they did do firmware updates, which made the camera much, much better, but still it wasn't there. And, you know, I just had so much trouble with it. And I knew that at that stage, I wasn't able to do it. But as I upgraded my system, I think the biggest, probably after the X100, the one that I used the most was the XE2 with the 35 millimeter lens, which was equivalent to 50 millimeters. And generally, I shoot at 50 millimeters a lot. If you look at my photos that I take that I took with the Canon and the 24 to 70, they were mostly around the 50 millimeter range.
Yeah.
So I thought this was the right camera to get and the right lens to get at first. And that camera was very hit and miss. It was better. It was definitely, I was getting better shots. And I think the one in particular was when I called you after I did a wedding up in the White Mountains. It was a wedding that I did at the Wentworth, which is a very beautiful place.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And there's photos of the couple getting ready were all done with the Fuji. I was able to do that pretty well. And it was all using just that one lens. When you look at the difference between the JPEGs from the Fuji and the JPEGs from the Canon, even after post-production, I mean, you could just tell the difference. It was like looking at like the difference between that movie magic quality and high frame rate, I guess.
Yeah.
They were both good, but you're just drawn to the contrast and the color of the Fuji photos. And I didn't do very much, a lot of post-production. I was able to, when I used the Fuji and when it worked, I mean, it worked. You know, there was very little post-production involved. This time I was able to do like the couple recessional coming, you know, after they're married, they're walking back. And, you know, I got some great photos with the couple with the Fuji. During the portrait session, I got some great photos with the Fuji. And then this was the first wedding in particular that I was able to photograph the couple dancing with their first dance.
Okay.
The first half, I was able to photograph with the Canon. I got all the necessary shots I needed. And then I had, the last 2 minutes of the song, I kind of played around with the Fuji and walked away with some really nice stuff. And then as the lights went down, you know, that's when, you know, the LCD screen became crap. The autofocus became crap. I became crap. So back to the Canon I went. And so it just went from there. It just kept trying and trying. And then there was that one moment where I just lost faith entirely with the Fuji system. Yeah, I mean, you remember that when I sold my XC2.
Yeah.
But even then, after I sold my XC2, I couldn't completely stay away. I bought the X100, one of the X100. I think it was an X100S. But yeah, it was. I had lost hope for a little bit.
Yeah, you were. I remember you were questioning whether or not you really wanted to keep going with the Fuji, and you know, mainly had a lot to do with you just couldn't ditch the Canon because you weren't getting the results that you wanted, mainly in the not the wedding portion, but the my brain's not working. The what is it called? After the wedding, when they start doing all the dancing and the cake,
the reception.
Thank you. So, you know, when the reception would come around, you're like, ah, man, you know, it's not focusing. There's a lot of movement. I can't capture the moment. And then you sort of had a breakthrough, and I believe it was just recent. When you started playing around with the with external flash.
Yeah, and I've always tried to play with external flash with the Fuji system.
Now, not every venue that worked out, but you know, there is very sometimes hit and miss depending on the venue. But
right, the part of it was how much time can I actually spend in setting up lighting for a secondary system with, you know, and sacrificing time to set up my primary system.
Right.
That's basically what it came down to. My Canon system, I needed to get that up and running first before it was time to start the festivities during the reception. So I just never had, while I had the tools to use, you know, the Fuji system, I just didn't have the time to put into it. It wasn't until I started to do my own, being the second photographer with some colleagues,
oh, yeah,
that I was able to actually spend the time to actually put into the lighting system and being able to experiment that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, all it took was just, you know, one or two weddings. And even then, after post-mortem, after I bought the Fuji X Pro 2, I realized that I could have saved myself so much time and hassle by switching to this camera before I bought the XT1. And, you know, that optical viewfinder just makes a world of difference during a reception.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, live and learn. But
now, is that the one that I got to play with when we were at the beach?
Yes, when you came to visit up here, I brought the camera with me, and you were able to play with it. And
yeah, I couldn't believe how small it was. You know, definitely compared to what the Canons were. Because I mean, I have the Canon 6D, which is basically like the 5D, You know, it was small, but then it was the viewfinder. That wasn't an optical viewfinder. It was a digital viewfinder, right?
When you you know, it wasn't the X Pro. It wasn't the X Pro 2. You're right. I was still playing around with the XT1.
Okay.
That's the one you held.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was, I couldn't believe how, you know, small it was, and, you know, the ability to look through the lens, and it was basically like looking through the lens, but it wasn't. But, you know, just having that in the camera, I was amazed on what it was, what they had.
I mean, it's just, again, I mean, the part that really, that kept bringing me back to the Fuji system, not only the image quality, but just having that weight, that the weight of a DSLR camera and the glass behind it, And then on top of that, sometimes a speed light on top of that just really weighs on you.
Yeah, it does.
And when you have two of them, it hurts. And during the wedding reception, you know, it was tough to have the camera, you know, just holding it in a particular way. I mean, with the Canon system, the one thing that I could pride myself on is being able to shoot that camera without looking through the viewfinder.
Sure.
And I told you about this with the Canon camera and the Canon speedlight, the focus check that it would send out via the speedlight was three vertical lines. That's what I use to aim my camera. If I could see those three lines appear, you know, ever so briefly, but you know, yes. If I'm aiming and this, everybody's dancing on the dance floor, you're in the middle of everything, trying to be inconspicuous, but you know, you're still in the mix of things, and you're holding that camera up in the air. The last thing it can be is in front of my face.
Right.
So I'm holding it above my head, just holding it in such a way I could see what I want to photograph, and then, you know, just that half press is like there, you know, boop, there's the three lines and boom, I got it. I was able to nail it every single time. Yeah. It was an awesome trick that I was able to do. And that's the one thing that I do miss on the Fuji system, because it doesn't have anything equivalent to that.
But that screamed, I'm the photographer, you know, basically, because it was such a large camera system. Are you able to like get in there and not have everybody going, oh, there's the photographer with the smaller system?
Yeah, it's much easier for me to get around on the dance floor. You know, I don't have a, you know, big piece of glass bumping into anybody occasionally. You know, if anybody's you know, coming towards me, it's easy for me to back up or just put my camera down. And you know, no one's the wiser. I still look like the photographer. I'm still still the weird Polish guy with the bow tie, you know. or in this particular case, the last wedding I did, I had like, you know, I was still fighting this cold, and sinus infection. So I was bundled with like, a layer underneath, and then I had my turtleneck sweater, and then I had a big, huge sweater over that because we did some outdoor stuff. So it was like, man, I was just a big dork in a sweater who could barely say a word, but you know, still got the job done.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that? But yeah, I could be very inconspicuous. But I mean, you know, being the guy who's photographing the entire day, people still see me. They just don't see me as much anymore. Which is a blessing and a curse, I guess.
Yeah.
Blessing in that, you know, people can't find me, but there are those moments where people can't find me. It's like, where did the photographer go? I'm like, I'm right next to you.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
They're looking for the big camera, and it's like, yeah, we need a picture with the cousin in this. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And one of the funniest moments I had during a wedding, this is going probably a couple of years back now. It was on the coast. The funny thing about this wedding was, I forget the venue, but the venue was also part of a dock, because it was in Gloucester, Massachusetts. They did this. Discovery Channel had like one of the, you know how they had the crabbing boats?
Yes.
You know, reality series. Then they had, you know, the deep sea fisherman.
Deadliest Catch or something like that.
It wasn't Deadliest Catch. It was like the Kmart version of Deadliest Catch. But anyway, they were based out of this one area. And somebody in the wedding party was like, oh my God, it's so-and-so. I'm like, who? He's like, can you get a picture of us? Yeah, sure. Click. Yeah. Who is that again? He's on TV. What's TV again?
Yeah.
No, I don't get cable anymore. I grew up. But yeah, it was like a reality star. Anyway, I'm making fun of the reality star, but not the couple. The other unique thing that happened at this wedding was that you had the probably the biggest Uncle Bob you could find at this wedding. This,
yes,
you know, he was the Uncle Bob of Uncle Bobs. He was packing like. Now, the funny thing is that this wedding was in, even though it was, you know, on the coast, it was on a dock, and the land that they had for the ceremony was very, very small. It was very thin. So you didn't have a lot of room to maneuver. And this guy brought his, like, I think he literally brought a 1DS. I forget which mark it was. I think it was.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. He had the goods, and he had like the 70 to 200 slapped on there, and he made sure that the, you know, big, huge lens hood was on it. If he could make that thing bigger, I'm sure he would have. And, you know, he had his big, huge speed light on top of that. And he'd carry that thing around like it was his, you know, it was his phallic symbol.
For the amount of money he paid for that, I'd be carrying it around too.
I suppose, you know, you make a good point. But he was not a photographer by trade. And and mind you, everything during the ceremony has to be close quarters because everything is cramped. Everything is, you can't be far away, because if you're far away, you're in front of a light post or you're in front of another property.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't be far away. So I have all my, I think my Canon, my 24 to 70 trusty, you know, thing that it was. And then I had my X100 and my, you know, XE2 that were on either side of me. And that's all I used. And so this guy walks up to me proudly with his camera, the lens pointing up, by the way.
Yes. To collect dust.
Yeah. To collect dust, I'm sure. He's like, you know, I just, you don't mind if I take a few photos? I'm like, oh no, that's fine. That's totally cool. He's like, you know, I hope you don't mind. I just don't want to get in your way. I'm like, you're not going to be in my way.
I'll be in your way.
And I told him, like, I honestly don't know how you're going to use that today. He's like, what do you mean? This is great. Oh, without a doubt. But you get, in order to take advantage of this, you got to be in the next county with that thing. You know, you've seen the layout, right? And he's like, well, you know, this is, and he's backing up.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, he is literally, like, out the gate and with the food trucks, just there. I'm like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Sharp enough for you? I'm going to be standing right here.
Oh, yeah.
And then he comes back and he's like, you know, well, you know, what do you, you know, I probably have another lens in the car somewhere, but what are you going to be using? And I just hold up the, you know, at this point I was preparing my shots. So the Canon wasn't around my neck. I was just, you know, getting the lay of the land. So all I had on me was my, X100. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to use this. He's looking at the thing. That little thing? I'm like,
yeah. Come on. Takes pictures.
Sir, it's, yeah. It's not the size that matters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so, okay. So you're basically, you're at the end of your wedding season, right?
I have one more wedding coming this Sunday. And, dude, I am happy to say that I have sold my last Canon lens.
That's right.
100%. Yeah, I'm 100% Fuji, and I sold my X. I didn't sell my X. I sold my. I mean, you could consider the Canon being my ex, but
you sold the 5D Mark III.
I sold the 5D Mark III, and that paid for Christmas.
Yeah. Yes.
That was a good feeling.
A beast.
And, oh yeah, I sold that, and then shortly after that, I sold my 70-200, sold my 24-105, and then just this past weekend, I sold my 24-70. That was the last lens to go because that was the one that I used the most. And let me tell you something. I thought I was going to get, X amount of dollars for it. I got slightly less because the focusing,
it was off.
Zoom lens. It was off. It was wobbly. It was loose. And so they cut it down by $75, which I was like, Okay.
That's fine. Yes.
This is your problem now, not mine.
That's right.
So I don't know how much longer that 24-70 had left. I'm sure a simple repair would have been able to fix it, but yeah, that was crazy. I mean, I've had that lens for a long, long time. The only camera that I'm still holding on to is the 5D Mark I, which has been just sleeping in the bag.
Yeah,
and I think I might just buy, as you suggested, just a Nifty 50 for that thing.
Yeah, get the Nifty 50. It's just that's a great all purpose lens. That way you can actually use the 5D and not just say, oh, I have the camera body.
Yeah,
and I think I got mine for $100.
It'll be there.
Yeah.
What's that?
I think I got mine for $100. So you have one more wedding, and then you'll pick up next year and just be Fuji all the way.
I'm Fuji all the way. All right. Well, Joe, it was awesome having you on the show. We got to do this again. I love having a second voice to talk to.
Yeah.
And, I can't wait. And again, I apologize for my really horrible voice. I actually had like 3 spoonfuls of peanut butter just to get my voice nice and greased up. Just to get, believe it or not, my voice actually is much worse than this. Like my sinus infection, just like every time I start this show back up, like something hits me. Like I came out with my I'm Not Dead Yet episode. That went well. Great reception. I was so happy. Then I was about to record the next episode. Sinus infection. Out for like 3 weeks. And then as I got better, the kids got sick. And then I was like, oh my God, will this cycle never end? So I'm like, hell and high water. I will make this episode work. Thank you for joining me on this episode. And dude, we'll talk again.
Oh, yeah. All right. Cool. Thanks for having me on.
Right on.